Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. and we have Chris Buness in the studio today, and she's here to talk about the trash survey that the IGAP department is doing. So you can call anytime during this program if you want to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. And Chris, thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thanks, June. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. So, I just thought this was a sort of wild idea that the IGAP department with the tribe is going to be collecting people's trash to do this survey of what people throw out. So give me a sense of, you know, what inspired you to do this? Why did you even want to do this kind of study?
Well, WCA IGAP already does and has in our work plan existing and past solid waste related activities, which many folks are already familiar with, like our electronic waste collection we've done a few times. We collect fish nets from gill netters who drop them off and we get them shipped out for recycling. We also help with the community cleanup. So having solid waste activities is a part of IGAP and has been for quite some time. In order to do those activities, we need to have some sort of solid waste plan. And we've been sort of operating underneath the city's plan, which is very simple, clear, and it's quite superficial. It's not terribly in-depth. So that's what sort of planted the seed. I thought, well, maybe we need to really focus on what we have for solid waste streams in Wrangell and write it all down, gather up all the information so we have what is very common in many other communities, an integrated solid waste management plan. So that was what started this whole thing.
Yeah, so you said solid waste stream. So how does garbage become garbage? Where does it go? I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, and what are they made of? We have very unique waste streams in Wrangell, from vegetable oil from restaurants to sandblast media down at the Marine Service Center to common plastic waste that we may throw out from a yogurt container to anything that we dispose of. And right now, of course, our Public Works Department with the city does a great job, and they do the weekly collection of our trash, as well as some businesses have multiple pickups during each week, depending on their amounts and that sort of thing. So it's a big process that's already happening. And as I think most folks in Wrangell know, our trash is taken to what we commonly say as the dump, but it's actually officially a transfer facility. And that's where it's transferred into containers that then get taken down to Seattle and then taken across the state of Washington to a landfill on the eastern side of Washington. So it's a big process for our waste to get from here to there, but we didn't really have an option. Like many Southeast communities, don't have space or appropriate space for a landfill anymore. So that's where it's been going, and it will continue to do so. But I think having the more awareness about what are we sending will be helpful.
Okay. Yes, so like you mentioned, there's all kinds of waste that people are disposing of, that businesses are disposing of, the city is. But this study is going to focus on household waste, you know, what you just throw away in your kitchen garbage can, your bathroom garbage can, anything like that, your yard waste.
It is, and that's a big one too. And it's interesting, I guess I haven't covered with you everything that I covered with some folks. We're doing the data collection part of this project during this fiscal year, which ends at the end of September. And the data collection part is sort of threefold. We have the household survey and associating those same households with a waste characterization, which is what you were just mentioning, that we're actually going to be collecting and sorting the trash to figure out what's in it. The third sort of piece, I've been interviewing some businesses. I haven't made it to everybody I wanted to yet, but chatting with them about what their waste streams are and what the challenges are that they're facing. And that part of the data collection will keep happening beyond this actual waste characterization, because I'd like to have one or two of each type of business. So I've spoken to Jake at the Stikine, and I've talked to Catherine and James at Zach's, you know, so trying to get a bit of a spread and figuring out what are common things that they deal with for waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go ahead and tell me about this household characterization. What does this look like?
Well, we've been working with Roland in the Public Works Department, and we've come up with a schedule and a calendar, and we've been recruiting. So we're utilizing some templates and some help from a company called Zender Environmental. They're based in Anchorage. And they have these tools that they are willing to share with the broader communities to help them figure out how to go about a solid waste characterization. We're also working with Kathy Needham from Chi Environmental, who we've done a lot of biology type work with her, and she's familiar with waste stream characterizations as well. So we've got some outside expertise that we have been relying on. And so on one of the Zender templates, they gave a percentage of how many households you should try to collect, sort, and evaluate based on of the number of residential cans that we have in Wrangell. So I got the number from the city, and I think that was in the low 800 range. And so we're aiming for about 10%. So my goal was to recruit 80 households so that we could then have them complete a survey and have them allow us to take their trash and do the big sort. So that's a bit of the precursor sort of thing. And then instead of having the public works staff pick up the trash, we as IGAP staff are actually going to go around and collect each day, because there is residential pickup Monday through Friday. And so we'll go and we'll probably, I'd like to say, brief or chat with the transfer facility staff each morning so that we can remind them and give them a list and say, please don't pick up these folks, and then, and maybe a map. And then each day we can sort of try to go ahead of the trucks so that we'll end up with the right trash. Yeah. Does that help you understand the basic process, June?
Yeah. So these are households that volunteered, that said, yeah, come get my trash. And the city is working with you all to make sure that they don't pick it up mistakenly. So we've got 80 households that are going to be giving their trash, and that's for about a week time, or is it a little less?
It's just 1 week. It's interesting you asked that. Kluwak Cooperative Association did a very similar study in 2017. They'd also done it earlier in like 2006. But in the 2017 study, they had to figure out how they could, you know, how they could do it, using the Zender tools and using Kathy's expertise. And they found that it was easiest to, I guess I would say, I'm trying to improve on their process by helping to ensure that we know from the bags of trash how many people live in the household. We don't know, we don't want to know. We want it to be anonymous. It's not anybody's business what you throw away. It's all going to be mixed into one by like each day. But we wanted to know, are there three people in the household? Because then we can weigh those bags when they first come to us at the transfer facility. And then we can determine how many pounds roughly per person per day we are averaging in Wrangell, which is another part of the data puzzle.
Okay, so it sounds like, you know, to keep it anonymous, when you are figuring out that person per day, you're going to, you know, you're going to look at all of the two households, okay, and put all of that trash together and then divide that by all people that live in two-person households.
Generally.
Or you're saying
we may,
all of it.
No, just the twos. Mm. Like you say, we've got, say on a Tuesday, we pick up five households and they're that have threes. They're all three-person households. There are many more than that on Tuesdays. But so then we would take those threes, put them together, and that's why we've asked folks to put a sticker on each bag as it's going from inside their house to their garbage, their green garbage bin. So that when we pick it up, We'll take it right out of their bins. We won't be using the big garbage trucks or anything like that. When we take it out, we'll just double check that there's a number on each bag. When we get back to the transfer facility, before we open those, we can just say, okay, these three are a household of three, and we can weigh those, and then we can open them up. And then dividing everything out is where the real work will begin. The list that we have for the data sheets is extensive. So you've got sort of cardboard, wet cardboard, thin plastic, soft plastic, hard plastic. You have all these different categories. So it'll take a bit of practice, I think. Monday will be a learning day. And there are very few residential houses on Monday. So that would be a good way to break us in and get us into the groove of communicating with each other and sorting everything efficiently and getting it all written on paper. And then, of course, it will be entered into a computer for the broader data sort that we need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
who all is going to be going through the trash?
Kathy, our contractor, and myself. I'm missing my Kim Wickman right now. She is off on maternity leave, so I don't have Kim as my IGAP technician right now. But we've hired two folks and one more to come. Lester Kuntz and Ruth Stowe have volunteered their time. And it's really been interesting chatting with folks as I was recruiting. Some people were a little bit cool at first, and that's understandable. Not every day are you asked, hi, do you mind filling out a survey, and can we have your trash for a week in September? So it's kind of weird at first, but then I would say in probably 80% of the conversations, if not more, they became something more rich and interesting, because someone would be like, oh, I really don't know if we need plastic bags in Wrangell, or what are they doing about yard waste, and all these different pieces that came out in these conversations. So it was really exciting to me once people were warmed up a little bit and they started talking about what their challenges are. And that's where their little written survey comes into play, which is not associated house to house. That was going to be, it would eliminate the anonymity and it would be more difficult for us to track. But we'll have a lot of data both written from that written survey process, as well as what we discover when we do the actual sort.
Yeah, absolutely. So your crew is going to be going through all of the trash and documenting it meticulously. I don't know. How nervous are you about just getting into people's gross stuff?
Well, we've got some PPE or protective clothing stuff, equipment. And so we've got Tyvek suits, we've got masks, we've got gloves, we've got glasses, we've got everything to protect us. We also have some, you know, those little grabbers that you reach down or reach into something with. So we got a couple pairs of those. And so it's going to have to go fast, though, because we have a lot of households. And I don't think we'll be able to linger at all. It's like Kathy mentioned a couple things because I asked her, what are the common challenges in the sorting part of the process? And she said, well, you say you have a tin can that is half full of soup. So a soup can that never got fully emptied and someone just ate half of it, which is fine. And then do you put that as tin or do you put that as food waste? We're not going to take the time to scoop it out and put the food waste in the food waste pile and put the tin in that pile. So there are ways mathematically that we can figure that sort of thing out. In brief, like if there was a lot of something like that, then we could say, well, the average tin can weighs this, therefore. And this is where Zender comes in. This is where the templates come in. So it'll be easiest for us if the families that are involved compartmentalize well. But part of the goal, June, was to make sure this was easy for everybody. Having to ask people to put the stickers on, it was like, should we bother? But getting that extra data is worth it to us. But that's hopefully, and the different families can contribute or comment on this, but hopefully that's the only different thing they're going to do that week.
Yes.
So, we're asking a lot. And so we wanted to keep it as simple as we could.
Yeah, the goal is to keep it simple, but it's also just to keep it as normal as possible.
Yes.
Not throw away something.
Exactly. A lot of people are like, oh, you don't want me to participate. I don't have hardly any trash. And so I'd look at them and like, well, they'd say, well, we compost everything. We take the cardboard to City Market. We burn our paper. And that was it. And I said, but no, you're a representative part of our community. And so we need to have those as well as folks that don't compost and don't take their cardboard or don't have the ability to burn paper in a burn barrel. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Man, that's a tough job.
It's interesting. A lot of people think, oh, are you only doing it for 1 week? And I think, oh, yes, 1 week will be plenty.
It is plenty.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really think, because we did that survey and we put down how many trash bags we have, and I really think we underestimated that. Like,
maybe.
Yeah.
And some weeks are different than other weeks.
Yeah.
You know, some folks are like, oh, I've got company that week. I said, that's okay. We'll just give you a sticker that says 4 instead of 2. And so, and that's okay because that's normal for Wrangell as well. Some weeks we have people visiting us in town. Some weeks we don't. Some families will, some families won't. So hopefully the goal is to have a fairly representative sample.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Chris, let's go to a really quick break and then we'll be right back. And if you would like to call in to ask a question or just say hi, that number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:19. I'm talking to Chris Buness about the trash study that the IGAP department is doing at the WCA. And we've talked about the process for collecting the trash, the number of households that are involved. And yeah, Chris, I would just like to get a better sense of what is the value of conducting a trash survey?
Well, I think there's a lot to it that I'm going to still learn, June. But I guess from a common sense perspective and just sort of through some other life experiences I've had, understanding what's in our waste can help us manage it better. That's really what it comes down to. The example I've given to a lot of folks in the recruiting process was that Kluwak Cooperative Association had done this before, and they had found, this was in 2017, it was Kluwak and Craig. I think they had maybe 50 or so households that they actually audited and surveyed, and found that they were at between 30 and 36% compostable food waste. So that's a really good discovery. From that, they, as a tribe, as a community, as a city, borough, whatever, could take that and turn it into something different. I suppose someone like in Juneau, they could start doing commercial composting at the curbside. They could do outreach to families and entities about how can we reduce food waste and how can we figure out where the food could go before it goes bad if someone else could use it, like our new Facebook group that's grown, which is really interesting. So there are lots of different, you know, sort of paths down which we can walk. If cardboard is such a big quantity, then maybe we say, and the city says, we're going to get our own commercial cardboard baler so that all the cardboard that goes to the dump doesn't get burned, but rather it gets baled. So you never know. And that's one thing I spoke to our contractor yesterday, and she said, don't assume anything about what you will show up in this waste characterization. Don't think that this very detailed data sheet, you think, oh, we're not going to have hardly any of this or any of that, so we don't need to put it on the sheet. Everything needs to be there because you will probably be surprised at what you find, and I just don't know what those surprises are.
So I'm curious, what would surprise you?
Oh, I don't really know.
Like, it sounds like you're expecting a large bit of cardboard, but yeah, what might you not be expecting?
I guess I don't really know. Like, speaking to Kathy yesterday, I said, "What? I don't think we're going to have like deer carcasses and stuff. And then she goes, yeah, you probably will. And I know this is the time for deer carcasses. This is the time of year when we have those and the dump receives those. I think I've heard from many folks, and for ourselves in our household, we do burn our paper. We keep it dry. When the weather's right, we take it out and we put it in our burn barrel and we light it and we put the little grate lid on top. And so I don't know that a lot of dry paper will come through. I'm just not sure. And I don't know from a residential perspective how much cardboard we'll have versus our business stream. And we're not doing waste characterization for the businesses. We're just doing those interviews. So, yeah, I might think like clean, dry paper and someone said, well, you're going to see my mail. It's like, we aren't going to have time for anything. It's going to be shove the paper over there, shove the hard plastics over there to the left, put the food waste over there. And it's the four or five of us will just be zooming through this stuff. When it comes to weighing it, that's where we need to slow down and be like, okay, making sure the data person has the right numbers from the scales and that sort of thing. So yeah, I guess paper might surprise me if I had like stacks of paper. I know businesses and organizations do shred their paper. So I guess I wouldn't be surprised if those big garbage bags that are very light come in, they're full of shredded paper, yeah. Which is a bit different.
True.
Okay. Cool. Well, Chris. Yeah, that gives me a better understanding of, yeah, I mean, what is the value of this? It sounds like once you know what waste is there, you have a better sense of how to manage it, what extra programs or education can be put out there to the community. And sounds like no assumptions.
Exactly.
You know, you may think trash is, there's just normal household trash, but it can be very indicative of just what is going on in the community and how to, just address it in different ways. So, Chris, is there anything else we should know about this study or anything you want to end on?
I would like to say a huge thank you to everyone who's taking the time to fill out the survey, to get their stickers on their bags starting today. I guess Monday and Tuesday households could start. And the business owners who have taken time out of their day to talk to me about what their waste streams are like, because time is very valuable. And so just the community support has been absolutely fantastic. And we really appreciate that at WCA IGAP.
Yeah, how did you convince people to do this?
It wasn't, like I said, some people sort of started out cool, but then when they realize that it's a good thing, and I think in Wrangell we get to lead an existence of sort of being sheltered in really good ways, but also recognizing that this is a very common thing in other places, because there's a lot of money in the waste world, and there are great ways to dispose of things. There are poor ways to dispose of things. But a lot of people and a lot of companies have made their way as a business with waste, because it's a business just like anything else. So, yeah, it's been and like I say, folks have been really supportive and interested and asking about when the data will be ready and all that sort of thing. So hopefully I'll be able to come up with some sort of summary from the actual waste characterization before the end of our fiscal year. And then the writing of the integrated solid waste management plan will happen hopefully November, December. And that is of course a document that the WCA would happily share with the community and the city and folks who are interested.
Yeah, so not a lot of time.
There's not. We're zooming through things.
Okay, well, Chris, best of luck. As you sort through all the trash, to you and your team, and thank you so much for coming on the air again.
Thanks, June. Have a good day.
You too. All right, the time is 1:27. We just got off air with Chris Buness with the IGAP department, and as always, we will be back next week with another guest.